This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, let's say, first of all, I was a little surprised just because I was with Mitt in Las Vegas when Donald Trump endorsed him, and I remember how effusively Mitt thanked Donald and praised him and talked about him as a great job creator. So it's a little bit over the top today, but I think Mitt represents personally the panic of the establishment wing of the party, and I think they all hoped, held their breath through Super Tuesday. It didn't work. And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party. And it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. You know, he hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't see him. They have no idea how to relate to him. And they don't want to pay attention to him. And despite the fact, and you were right, by the way, he's only gotten, you know, about 35 to 40% of the vote. So he's not yet guaranteed to be the nominee. But week by week, he's gaining ground. And nationally, he's gaining strength. And I think that what you're going to see now for 2 weeks is an all-out frenzy. They have to beat him in Ohio, and they have to beat him in Florida, or this is over, because those are winner-take-all states. And if he adds right. Ohio and Florida as delegates, he will become unstoppable.
I'll tell you, there's some added insight from the former Speaker Newt Gingrich about Donald Trump and how he's turned the tables upside down with the GOP establishment. But, you know, this is what the people have been calling for, guys. They've had it. They just said, look, we cannot do business as usual. We've allowed the establishment, whether it's on the Democratic side or the Republican side, to run this country into a ditch. We're $19 trillion in debt. And I don't know how you put it all on the Democrats or you put it all on the Republicans. Both have been complicit. And the people are saying, hey, look, it's got to be somebody from the outside. Now, can one Donald Trump, can he be enough? Can he do and fulfill the hopes of the American people?
Boy, I don't know. I kind of disagree with this one a little bit. I know you were kind of leaning towards agreeing with Newt on this, but I think there's a lot more to why the establishment in the GOP doesn't like Donald than just that he's an outsider. He's a pretty polarizing character, and I think that plays a lot into it, obviously, here. We have to look at that too, don't you think?
Well, I think all that stuff is kind of noise.
Sure.
But
sure.
At the core of this is the fact that they're no longer in control. They can't. They're not going to be able to tell Donald Trump what to do.
Right.
I mean,
he's got
$10 billion. What does he need their money
right,
for? He
right.
could care less. He's not going to be beholden to them and the people in K Street. And this is what Main Street America is looking to. And they're saying, okay, we have a champion. We have a guy. Is the system so corrupt? Is it so messed up that even a guy like Donald Trump cannot straighten it out? And I as to what that looks like and how fast that can happen, I mean, Barack Obama found out it doesn't happen overnight. Unless he goes by executive order, that this is due process, and there is a reason our founding fathers set the process up the way they did, so that we would take our time. But Donald Trump, there are probably certain things that he can do, and kind of like in the conversation we had with Newt Gingrich about 6-8 months ago, we talked about that low-lying fruit, that fruit that he can affect change most immediately, that's going to create the least amount of brain damage, but give him a lot of political capital along the way. And I think if wisdom reigns and he does that, then, then I think we can start to tackle some bigger objectives.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like you say, the people are seeing in him and in Sanders on the other side, it's the same thing. They just want something different, a fresh change, you know?
Well, if not, it comes down to whether or not Cruz. I think Rubio's done. I think it's either going to be Cruz or Trump. That's the way it's going to play out. Well, it's 4 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay right where you are.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop here. What's
well, we're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here live at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is our first day. 3 hours, guys. 3 hours, 9 to noon now on the GCN radio. This is a lot of fun here, so we're looking forward to it. Going forward, today we're going to do something a little bit different, but starting tomorrow, the idea is that we're going to open up the phone lines and give you a chance to comment on all the guests that we've been interviewing in the previous couple of hours, kind of an open phone line, and chime in. Give us your perspective on what's going on. No holds barred, Democrats, Republicans. This isn't about, a political kind of thing. It's about the United States kind of thing, about getting this country back on track. So, we'll open them up, and that'll be the idea of the third hour is, I need you to carry the day. So, I think that'll be a lot of fun, guys. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. It's always going to be nice to hear what the listeners think about the content on the show and the questions they want asked. We want to make sure we get those answered.
Well, it also gives us the chance to find out, you've always said, 7 out of 10 think that, something's wrong. Well, now what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
It's going to be refreshing to hear what people think we should do about it.
Exactly. I mean, we've had some interesting input along the way. I thought one of the most provocative pieces of input came from Wayne Allen Root. There we go. It's the medication. I'm sorry, guys. Wayne Allen Root, when he was saying that he firmly believed that anybody that was on an entitlement. Now we're not talking about Social Security. I mean, you've earned it. We're not talking about that. But if you're on a pure entitlement. That you should give up your right to vote, that your vote shouldn't count because you're prejudiced at that point. Of course, you're going to vote for somebody that wants to keep handing out the free goodies. Ooh. And this is what's got us into trouble and has us now faced at $19 trillion in debt. And, I mean, it keeps going in the wrong direction. We're saying we've had it with all this overspending, but nobody's stopping it.
I think something should be done about the people that are appealing to those people as well.
Well, yeah.
If you're running for president and that's who you're trying to appeal to, like they should be taken to task for that. It's part of the reason also why you had to be, originally you had to be a landowner. Mm-hmm. You had to own something in order to.
Right.
You gotta have skin in the game.
You do. And I think it was Ben Franklin that said that you can't allow people to vote themselves money. Because that will be the end of the republic.
Well, and here we are. I mean, we're looking at the brink of it. And I think that this is one of the driving forces and concerns of most people, as, suggested by our guest of last week, who, when he said this, I said, I don't know how to better sum up what he said, because he just said it perfectly. I'm talking about Colonel Buzz Patterson, said that America is freaking out. They're afraid they're losing their republic, guys.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, I can't say I disagree with him, can you?
No, I mean, it just all of a sudden is like, the, you know, of all the things we can talk about, you know, we want an outsider, you know, Trump this and that and one deal or another. But the driving force that really is connecting here, and this is what Trump has done. He's listened to people and he's connected with them to understand that they are afraid for the first time in their lives. They are afraid that we're going to lose America. And the thing is, not only Americans, but there are people overseas that look and see what's going on here and going, man, I hope these guys get this together. Because if not, what is, forget about America. It's what about the rest of the world? What it's going to look like without an America, you know, like it or not. I know some people get irritated. Well, we're not the police of the world. You know what? We are.
Yep,
so get over it.
Well,
you know,
I mean, we're kind of the, you know, whether you want to call it the police or not, no matter what, we're the kind of the litmus test for freedom in the rest of the world, you know, and you know, take away the freedom here in America, and the rest of the world is going to lose their any minor freedoms that they have already.
Any hope of freedom?
Yep,
any hope?
Yep.
I mean, that's the deal. They don't want us to be successful
because
we're making their governments look bad. They're
You
know, you're going to tell me their people aren't saying, "Hey, we want to be like the Americans, the Mexicans coming across the border. Hey, we want to be, you know, we want to be like America." You know, we don't want to have a government that's based on greed and graft and all that. Although America is not pure with themselves, but comparatively, it is a night and day comparison. So that's why all these countries, you know, they rejoice when, you know, at any time when America looks bad, and of course when they see, you know, this freewheeling free speech and the kind of stuff that's being talked about during these political campaign seasons. They just think we're all a bunch of knuckleheads, but this is the American way of life.
To be fair, I think you mentioned this. Our leaders, our supposed leaders, and I use air quotes with that, they do a very good job of making us look bad on a lot of things. And then you got a populace who has all the information at their fingertips, and you got 50% of them that choose not to look and actually find out the facts. Mm-hmm. They watch news and they get an opinion. And they take an opinion as fact. News nowadays gives opinions.
Yeah, like, there's regular reporting anymore. It's opinion pieces.
That's why you get people that, well, I only watch Fox News. I only watch MSNBC. I only watch, you know, you go across the gambit. And why do you only watch those? Well, because they tend to give me the truth. Or are they giving you the truth, or are they giving you what line your opinion lines up with?
Right, exactly.
Talking points, yeah.
And the government, our government doesn't make money. They collect money. All the money that they have is our money.
Right.
It's money from us.
Exactly.
And people forget that. And we are the most. Our government has more money than any other government in the world to play with. There's no other government that has more money than our government to play with. And now you're watching people run through for president. And you got a guy saying that we need to collect more. It's the 1% of the people that have a problem. And he's going to create jobs. Well, I don't know about you, Bill, or you, Shane, but a poor person has never given me a job.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And government doesn't produce anything either, so you can't rely on government for your employment and your GDP and any of that.
So for me, the biggest issue I have is that for me, if they already have more money than anybody else, why do they need to get more?
Well, because they found a way not to be accountable.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's the problem, Scott,
that's just it. For me, it's not, you don't need more. You need to take what you already have and figure out what you want to do with it more efficiently.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If you're going to run the government like a business, well, then you need to hold them accountable
like a business. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Amen.
Well, and this has been the problem, is that for so long, and this particular administration has been, you know, the antithesis of efficiency, because it's been cumulative. They've not been the only problem, but it's just that, hey, look at, they have not slowed down the snowballing effect of inefficiency. I mean, you know, Tom Coburn, I miss Senator Tom Coburn. He was such a bright light for all of us, holding the government accountable, pointing out the waste that's taken place. And but meanwhile, it falls on deaf ears. Nobody wants to respond to it. They just keep spending money and, you know, and misrepresenting the public's wishes. It's no wonder the people have had it. let the revolution, you know, let it begin. Let's bring it on and let's get this country back on track, ladies and gentlemen. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Faith leaders everywhere are filled with praise for the young Messiah. Dr. Ted Baer calls it an exhilarating family experience.
You seek a family from Nazareth with a boy named Jesus.
Focus on the Family calls it a remarkable movie.
Why did God choose me? What if I'm not strong enough?
And Hugh Hewitt raves, it's a spectacular movie that should not be missed.
He's just a child.
He is not just a child.
The Young Messiah, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters Friday.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I have maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10 Tuna Chew weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10 Tuna Chew could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's hardship program. Call 800-272-9128. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-272-9128. That number, 800-272-9128. Call now, 800-272-9128.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, just the way you like them, fresh every day, nice and live at 19 after the top of the hour. I know I may sound a little rough on the edges, you know, dealing with a little bit of that schmuggus that's running around. I don't know what the heck's going on here, but everywhere you go, a lot of people are coughing, and I've been doing everything I can to stay out of the aim of fire, as they say, so to speak. So if you hear me gasp once in a while, that's what's happening. My lungs are spasming just a little bit. But anyway, we're getting through it. Good to be with you at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Yancey Cruthers is with us, former U.S. Army medic, and I particularly have a fondness for medic, considering that my dad was a medic in the Army and was at the Battle of the Bulge with one General Patton. And quite the stories. Didn't tell us a whole lot, because that's what a lot of the World's Greatest Generation members did not do, is that they didn't speak openly about their experiences during World War II. But I was proud of my dad, nonetheless, and for his service to our country. He's no longer with us. He's been he passed 11 years ago. And I tell you, I miss him dearly. But Yancey, thank you for your service, having served 20 years in the U.S. Army Reserves while simultaneously advancing your civilian career as a registered nurse. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Doing just great, Bill. I'm still trying to figure out what schmuggus actually means, but
It's one of those good words. It just means anything you need it to mean, I guess.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's probably a combination of some mixed up Spanish and Hebrew in there. I don't know. You know, I mean, this guy. That's just the way I work the language out. So, yeah, but it's not good, whatever it is. I don't know about good schmuggus. I only know about bad schmuggus. And whatever it is, I've got it. But it's going away, and as fast as we possibly can get it out the door, let me tell you. Well, you know, that you see, that's the thing. See, when you're a medic and you're out there in the field and you told me, well, what do I got, Doc? You got the schmuggus. It's okay. It's all right. Okay, well, that's manageable. You can manage.
I certainly could have used that word during my military career.
Well, you know, tell us a little bit about Northwest of Eden, a real story of dust, blistering heat, treating wounded soldiers, and surviving the emotional toll of war. Because there's man, when you're there as a medic, I mean, you're holding life and death right in your hands, Yancey. I mean, this you are probably less than 1% of humanity that finds themselves in that position in a war zone area.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you, the plot and the setting and the characters for the story, I mean, every bit of the raw material that I had to write this was just phenomenal. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, only 1% of the population has to experience this kind of thing. I mean, of course, everyone's experiences is different in war, but you know, I just felt like this was a story that I had to tell. And I didn't start out life wanting to be a writer. I've done all sorts of different things, but this was my first person account of my experience as the second in command of a combat ER. I mean, I just knew that was a story that that needed to be told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't. This is kind of like MASH Part Deux, which was celebrated, of course, of the Korean War. You know, we remember the TV series that captured our imaginations and our eyes for so many years. But this is a follow up, in a sense, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that MASH did, and of course, I was a little bit inspired by that TV show, and I'll tell you why. It's because they told everything. They told the fear, the tragic stories, and the humor, because life is like that. I mean, war is a boiled down, super concentrated version of life. I mean, everything there matters, especially the little things that don't usually. That get up in the morning, and you go and you drop off your laundry, and you go get something to eat. These are things that, in the course of everyday life, we don't really think about that stuff too much. But in an environment like that, not only is the setting completely different, but there just may be those things matter a lot.
Well, yeah, it is amazing when every choice has an effect on life or death, right?
Absolutely. And one story that I think of, it's actually from my first deployment. We were on an installation, you know, one of the large bases in Iraq at the time. And the fellow I was driving with, he said, well, should we turn left and go around the south end of the airfield, or should we turn right and go around the north end? And we looked at each other and said, well, it doesn't really matter. It's the same distance either way. we turned and went north, and only to find out that at that moment the enemy had chosen to attack the base with mortars. So we had a few, you know, mortars that were falling around exploding.
Mm.
Nothing real close, but it was enough definitely to get our attention.
Right.
When we got to the other side of the airfield, the guy that we were following, the vehicle that we were following, had chosen to turn south, and the back of his vehicle was peppered with fragments. One of the mortars had actually hit right behind him. So had we made the choice to turn left instead of right, seemingly inconsequential, we were in a unarmored Ford Explorer, so I'm guessing it probably wouldn't have turned out to be a very happy ending.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yancey, speaking of Iraq, you were there when we brought it under control. It's got to be with mixed emotions when you see what's happening there right now.
It really is, Bill. And I think mixed emotions, that pretty much sums it up, because there is a part of me that, even when I was over there, I just wanted to say, you know what? The heck with this place. I don't care about it. I don't care about Iraq. I want to just go back home and forget this place ever existed. And I don't care what happens to it. Let it go back to the way it was 500 years ago. And I don't care. There's also another part of me that says what we did over there, for good or bad, cost lives.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I mean, it's like, do you throw good money after bad? Do you just keep investing, you know, the same effort into something that really isn't producing results? Or do you say, you know what, the people that went over there and did what they were asked to do, whether they agreed with it or not, there were people that paid for that with their lives and their physical health and their emotional
exactly.
health. And do we owe something to those people to say, we need to go in there and finish that? So I'm very much of two minds about it, and I think that a lot of soldiers feel that way.
You know, I couldn't help but think of the similarities to a certain degree of Vietnam, where we went in and we just didn't finish our business there. And we went in with an idea, and when the baton got turned over to a new administration, something got lost in translation. And again, we see this happening again in terms of the conduct of war. You know, that there needs to be some sort of continuity when there is an administration change, as opposed to somebody just coming in and saying, hey, look, it, you know, I'm just going to stop the war. Well, wait a minute, it just doesn't happen that way. That's pretty naive, and look what we've got right now, and there's no responsibility, no accountability for this. We've just turned that country upside down, inside out, and made things worse as a result of the way we've conducted the second phase of this war.
I think you're absolutely right, Bill.
In my humble opinion.
I'm going to point out something that's, you know, from a historical perspective, something that's been going on for years and years. The policies for fighting wars tend to be based on the policies that were formulated while fighting the previous war. And when we look back at that, we see that, you know, World War II was fought a certain way. It was obviously on a massive scale with a lot of different... And then all of a sudden, Korea is fought on this tiny little peninsula where tons of resources are dumped in one small place and then nothing ever happens. We went into Vietnam with the idea that it was going to be like Korea.
Hmm.
I think we went into Desert Storm with the idea that we didn't want another Vietnam, so we learned the lessons from that war. You know, at the same time, Desert Storm... there were things we didn't do right there either. So when we went into Iraq the next time, we fought it the way that we did the last one. So, I mean, each time, I mean, war is a silly, foolish thing anyway. But, I mean, each time we go to do this, we're using the philosophies developed during the previous war.
Okay, Yancey, stay right with that thought. We'll be right back, and we'll pick it up at the other side of the break. Yancey Carruthers on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us, America.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7 second walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7 second walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7 second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCM. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter radio. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Getting America back on track.
The face of the nation.
You guys crack me up.
Bill Martinez live.
You ready? Ready?
Ready or not, here we come. 28 before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. Yancey Carruthers is our guest. U.S. Army medic. Served 20 years in U.S. Army Reserves while simultaneously advancing his civilian career as a registered nurse. Yancey, I wanted you to pick it up where we left off right before the break. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know how it is. We got to pay for the bills, and you know, sometimes we have to stop. That's all it is.
Not a problem, Bill.
Okay. All right. So anyway, you were saying?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we hear a lot is the word hero. We hear that word being thrown around a lot, and as I speak to different audiences and places, I tell them that, you know, out of 100 people in the audience, there may be heroes there that, you know, people that have that kind of fortitude, but they may never get the opportunity to express it. They may be heroes and they may never know. And actually there's part of me that hopes that they'll never get to know. But what I think that is interesting about telling the stories of veterans and military stories is that we're just ordinary people. Placed in extraordinary circumstances. And I know that's cliche. I mean, we've all heard that before.
Right.
But that's one of the things that I wanted to write about. I wanted to write about the good and the bad and the ugly, and it's a little bit revealing to my own character to be able to tell that story. But I had so much fun writing my own story that I decided to put together a collection of true stories from other veterans. So right now my work in progress, it's called Medic with an exclamation point. Medic is a six-part series of standalone stories, each of them from a field medic or a corpsman from each one of the living wars, going all the way back to World War II. Yeah. And what I think is interesting about this as a series is that there are so many similarities between the different wars. And each one of these veterans, they found out when they were going to go to war. One of the guys came home, and there was a letter waiting for him there that said, you're going to Korea. I got an email. So, I mean, obviously there are some differences in the, you know, in the ways we found out, but the emotional connections were the same. And as throughout that bit of our living history, there are these events that changed our lives. I mean, with our generation, it's 9/11. Some people are old enough to remember when John F. Kennedy was shot. Some of these massive events that everyone knows exactly where they were at that time. And for this generation of folks, that was Pearl Harbor. They would come home. They came home from church on a Sunday morning, turned on the radio, and life had changed forever.
Yeah.
So, lots of similarities between that as a catastrophic, generation-changing event, world-changing event, and our 9/11.
And it's so a unifying event, Yancey, when people realize that it is their country. Suddenly, it's not Republican, it's not Democrat, Independent. It's the United States of America coming under attack, whether it was at Pearl Harbor, 9/11, on and on. This is our country. Benghazi, I went to see the movie 13 Hours, and the guttural response there in the movie theater, Yancey, was profound, where the people felt, you know, for all the good things, and certainly we're not a perfect country, but we've done a lot of good for the world around us and other countries. Whenever they're in need, we're one of the first countries to step up and, you know, send aircraft loaded with medical supplies and other things to help them out. And for us to be treated the way we've been treated, whether it is, you know, a place like Benghazi or other places, it's just abhorrent to us. It grieves our very souls, and it takes us out of the context of the political and brings us right where the rubber meets the road, and that is, this is our country, and you cannot attack and disrespect our country this way.
It takes us out of the context of life in general, Bill. Mm. You mentioned Benghazi, and I'll tell you exactly where I was when I found out about Benghazi, and this was a little bit of a unique experience. I was working for the U.S. Department of State. I did that for 5 years.
Yeah.
I was in the embassy in Lima, Peru, working directly for a great guy. He was the deputy chief of mission in Lima, Peru at the time. And I went into his office and I said, I'm getting some chatter. Something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, we tried to find out everything we could. Come to find out that my boss was a personal friend of Chris Stevens.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it affected him very deeply because we just really didn't know. I mean, America didn't know what was happening. You know, as those events unfolded, obviously there were a lot of things, that rumors that were flying around, and we didn't know what was going on. And no one was telling us. South America, so we didn't really have much say in the matter. But of course, we're trying to piece together the bits of the puzzle along with everybody else. I just remember how frustrating that was. But I mean, you're absolutely right that it bonds people together in a way that, you know, it shouldn't take something like that for all of us to remember that we're Americans, that we're on the same side. You know, everybody wants what's best for the country, and we maybe disagree on the right way to get there, but that doesn't mean we have to attack each other.
Exactly. Well, in your stories, when you're talking with other medics, I mean, first of all, go back to World War II. We're losing our World War II vets, you know, every day, and, you know, they're dwindling down to small numbers. You mentioned this one medic who was 15 when he joined up, right?
He was. His story is he kicked his teacher in the shins and got expelled from school when he was 15. So he decided to run away and join the Army. He and his cousin conspired together, stealing his uncle's notary seal, and they forged a letter from his mother that said, hey, he was born at home and he's of age. So he ran off and joined the Army, and about 3 months later, he's on a ship and on a landing craft outside of Omaha Beach, D-Day, June the 6th, 1944.
Oh, wow.
So he's 15 years old, and I can't even get my 15-year-old to cut the grass. But you know,
much less be on a ship, you know, heading to D-Day, right?
Right, and out of the 110 men in his company that day. There were seven survivors. You know, so here's this kid who's fighting his way, trudging his way across France, and of course that effort obviously got bogged down. He ended up in the Battle of the Bulge with Patton's army, and you know, so I mean, his story is of
he's probably there with my dad, Yancey.
He may have been. I mean, you've mentioned Battle of the Bulge before, and I you know there are a lot of guys there, but you know, it was amazing to hear his story about, you know, the French people and just sort of the everyday life that went through there. I mean, in contrast, my Korean War veteran was 11 years old at the time of Pearl Harbor, whereas my World War II veteran that I'm writing about was 12. But they had very different paths of life. I mean, the 12-year-old went to war, and the 11-year-old kind of went on about his life and then suddenly got a draft notice in, you know, 1951. So it was a very different path, but still, you know, a very similar experience with this, you know, the life-changing event that ultimately became their war. And you know, we hear all the time people talk about the war. I used to make fun of that, Bill. I didn't know what the war meant. I thought, well, what do you mean the war? There were more than one. Well, maybe for these guys there wasn't until I got one of my own. And now when I say the war, I'm referring to Iraq, and I know historically there have been others, but that was the war for me.
Exactly.
The one that changed my life.
Well, and I know, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, when you look at World War II and the influences that each preceding war had on the conduct of the military and the execution of the war plan, I still maintain that World War II carries its influence even to this day, because of the devastation that was wreaked on the planet, you know, particularly in Japan. You know, there is so much emotion, even though this is generations past, that is carried into our cultural DNA because of what happened with the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
It really is, Bill, and I've lived in a couple of places overseas in my time with the State Department. And one thing that I notice that's particular about other cultures, there's a very long memory. Other countries remember things that happened 400, 500, 1,000 years ago, and it still shapes their culture and their policy. And America is still a very young country, so we're still figuring it out.
Exactly. He's the author of the book, Northwest of Eden, Yancey Carruthers. His book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Yancey, thank you so much. It's just about 19 before the top of the hour right now.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders.
IDStronghold.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain and the mountains.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Don't you love that angels just keep on singing? It doesn't matter what month it is. Oh, I love to hear angels sing. Hey, it's Bill Martinez back with you, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. It is time for the one and only Bob Walaszewski, Focus on the Family. He's Director of Media and Culture. He's also Director of Focus's Plugged In Department. Robert, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill. Happy Monday.
Hey, it is, huh? And it's happy to be, part of Disney. It's good to be Disney right now, right?
Yeah. If you were a stockholder, it would be a nice day, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, is the number one film in the nation. That's what you and I are talking about. It is a Disney film, and it is the largest film opening from Disney Films. That's excluding their Pixar division. $73.7 million. It averaged almost $20,000 every theater showing across America all weekend long.
That's a lot of popcorn.
It's a lot. And it's one of those where it even beat Frozen.
I know. That was amazing. You know, we knew that Zootopia was going to do really well. But if you'd have told me it was going to beat the numbers of Frozen, I thought, Bob, come on,
yeah.
You know, really?
Well, and I don't personally feel that it's as good a film as Frozen, but hey, I think maybe it was a drought and people were looking to take their kids to something, and it was kind of like, okay, kids, here's one, let's go. And
yes, exactly. Yeah, something the whole family could enjoy, and they ate it up, $73 million worth.
Yep. And we gave it a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness, which is a great, great score. But, Bill, I need to tell your listeners that this is one of those rare times that even a 4 needs a bit of explanation. And I will say, now, it features a little bunny rabbit by the name of Judy Hopps, who wants to be the first policewoman of this metropolis called Zootopia, where animals tall and small live together in harmony. And she gets to be a police woman, but she's assigned parking meter duty, and eventually she wants a bigger case, and she gets a chance and stave off a diabolical plot against the city. And in her course, in the course of looking for clues, she and the fox character end up going to a nudist colony of all things. Now, the inside joke for us is that when they're diverting their eyes and they're going, oh, they're naked, you know, we all can see there's nothing there, you know, haha, there's the inside joke. But knowing families like I do, I know there, I need to point that out because some people would say, if that's in there, I don't even want to take my kids to it. And some people are going to go, if that's the worst of it, I'll take my kids to it. So, and we try never to call that for families. We just try to make sure families are aware of it.
Exactly, exactly.
So, well, and that is the worst of the worst. Otherwise, it's kind of a cute little movie. So, well animated, you know, it'll, like you said, it's good. Or like we've already said, it's done well. It's going to continue to do well. It'll do well when it comes out on DVD.
Well, and we've got Risen still hanging in the top 10, right?
I was so glad to see it. Number 6 made another about $4 million over the weekend. And it's inching up on a $30 million total mark, which is pretty nice. That pays the bills.
Right.
That gets Joseph Fiennes' salary taken care of and the special effects budget and everything else is taken care of. Now we can just put a little in the bank, I think, for a future Affirm film. So I'm happy for those guys. And it's such a good film, especially as we're nearing the Easter Sunday. It's just, what is it, 3 weeks away?
Right.
And I think families, especially in the next 3 weeks, who haven't seen it, this is really a great time to go see a film like Risen, because it deals with the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ as told through a skeptic's point of view,
exactly.
A Roman tribune, and it's just a creative way to tell that old, old, familiar story that never grows old.
And I like that it opens up the conversation from a different perspective, Bob. I mean, certainly there's classics. I mean, I love The Passion. I love what Mel Gibson did. That is a longstanding staple ever since that movie was released. It connects me with my spiritual roots. But for somebody else, you know, in a general conversation, wow, this is a powerful tool because the way the movie is presented, as you say, it's from a non-believer's point of view.
Well, and if you have a neighbor who is skeptical about biblical claims of Christ, or as a listener, you yourself are skeptical, this would be a good film to at least, you know, go see and see how it comes across to you personally or your friend, because it does invite that conversation where a movie like The Passion of the Christ tells the story well, but it doesn't invite skepticism like this film does. This film really begs you to say, if you have it, don't feel bad because our main character is very skeptical too.
So. Exactly. Exactly. You know, what I find quite interesting with our culture these days, as much as Christianity and our faith is under attack, it's interesting that you just cannot hold the cream back. The cream will find a place to rise regardless of the pressure. And that is, faith-based movies continue to be produced and find themselves to be very successful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and so successful that we've got at least, by the time the year is done, I think we will have had something like 16 faith-based films out. We've already had two, Risen being number 3. This weekend, The Young Messiah comes out. I think we're going to chat about that briefly here. Then we have Miracles from Heaven, God's Not Dead, I'm Not Ashamed, Same Kind of Different as Me, a new Ben-Hur coming out this summer, and The Shack coming out in November. So there's just a few that are in the faith space. So it'll be interesting when the year ends to look back and say, huh, how'd they do?
Well, The Young Messiah, let's talk about it, coming up next week, right?
Yeah, well, this weekend. And
this weekend.
This very Friday.
The 11th, that's right.
March 11th, this very Friday. And I've seen it twice. And, Bill, the first time I was invited to this film, which was like 6 months ago, they gave us quite an early peek on this one. And they told me what it was about. Hey, this is a film that deals with the boyhood years of Jesus Christ. I thought, I'll be honest here, I thought, I'll go see it because I go see everything, but I know I'm not going to like this film. Because, and the reason I said that to myself was because the Bible doesn't say much about the boyhood years. We know at the
exactly.
age of 12 he went to the temple, but other than that, it's a big question mark. And I thought, so you're going to make this big fictional film about my Savior, and I can't possibly like it. And boy, was I surprised when the credits rolled. I said, oh man, I like this film. And,
yes.
Because it was respectful of the person of Jesus. It was respectful of the scriptures. Yes, they have to take some liberties when you're dealing with a seven-year-old Jesus of Nazareth. But when I think about who he is and what the Bible says about him in his adult years, what I saw was very consistent in his character, in his family's character. I like this film a lot.
Well, we talked, as you know, with Cyrus Naresta, the director and producer of The Young Messiah.
He had
NRB, and what a great guy. I mean, brilliant. And then the cast, I mean, the production values, the music. John Dabney, the world-famous John Dabney, did the music on this. The soundtrack is phenomenal. And Cyrus, you know, we were talking. He goes, well, you know, we take a look at Jesus at 7. And I said, but he went to the temple. You know, the Bible says 12. At 12. And I go, he goes, 7, 12, you know, it wasn't so much the years or the chronology as much as the concept. And so as you and I talked about before, if you don't let that be a stumbling block, because we know that many of us in our faith, boy, when you start messing around with scripture, then you better be real careful because you're on hallowed ground here. You know, some things we want to hold on to. But
you liked it and I liked it. But that doesn't mean that every one of our listeners is going to like it, nor does it mean that people that I love dearly who are very like-minded in so many issues are going to love it. But I think most will. But I know that any film that's ever been made about Jesus, and I understand there's something like 97 of them made in the 100-year history of Hollywood, that every single one of them had its critics. There was never a film that got 100% of people who were in the faith community to say, that is my film, and I love it, and I identify it. There's always a skeptic. There's always a critic, and
well,
there will be with this one. I can guarantee you, I'm just saying, as a film critic who's seen a lot of films, and as a film critic who's seen a lot of faith-based film, I went in thinking I wouldn't like it. I came away liking it. I think there's other people who are thinking the very same thing. I don't want to go see a film about the boyhood of Jesus. I know I won't like it. I don't care what this guy has to say. And I want to say, hey, I was one of those. Give it a try. I think
exactly.
You're going to be surprised.
I think it's quite amazing, Bob. Don't you think about it when, you know, you consider, 97 films made about Jesus, about someone that so many still want to believe didn't exist.
Yeah. And there's room for more. And the interesting thing is, you know, give it another year and we can have another film from a different perspective. I don't know what that perspective will be, but when you're dealing with the person of Jesus, there's always room to retell that story.
Because there's plenty of blind people looking for their sight. And when they find their sight, it's a whole new story. It's very personal, very deep, and you can't help but tell the story loud and proud. Bob Walaszewski, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture. Robert, as always, great to have you along with us. Have yourself a great week. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.